Saute the onions, grill some chicken. The taste buds ours, our finger licking. Tune them in now, give a listen. 'Cause the taste buds really know what they are dishing. Sunday mornings from 10 to noon, the taste buds ours are in your room. Tune them in now, give a listen. 'Cause the taste buds really know what they are dishing.
Oh boy.
That song, we need to fix it.
No, I think it's very good.
Dad, it's just out of tune a little bit.
Yeah,
that's
but
all.
It's like natural. You know, people, like you said, will distinctly remember that tune.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Carol and I are singing it together because if you go back to 2008, I was the one singing it. And I just feel that, you know, our hostess with the mostest should be singing with the co-hostess with the mostest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Welcome back. We are at the top of the hour. Food for Thought with the Taste Buds, Carol and Michelle. We are making a comeback. Yes, we are here and we're all set.
To go.
And Dad is joining us today for our first show back. And J-Dog is going to look up for us what show number this is. He's going to look into that. Because remember, we always used to say that.
So, yeah, the statistics, man, will bring us.
Yes.
For sure.
And remember, people, you can always stream us live on the World Wide Web, WTPL1077.com. You can stream us live. Give us a call, 866-823-1077. Dad is in-house, so if anybody has any recipe questions for him, please call in. And I think we're going to do another trivia, right, Michelle?
Absolutely. The phone number is 866-823-1077. I thought this was pretty interesting because I did not know this. New Hampshire, you know how we have the state bird and our state tree. Well, we have a state fruit, the official state fruit. It was put in place in 2006. What is it? Give us a call for that trivia. 866-823-1077. New Hampshire's official state fruit.
I never knew we had a state fruit.
And it's a little tricky. So
tricky.
Yeah. I can give hints if we
always
need
a hook.
But we'll see.
Okay. Mm. All right. And, you know, like Michelle and I had said earlier, you know, we always trying to eat healthy, trying to, you know, just try to make healthy choices. For those of you maybe that didn't know, I did have a heart attack June 15th. And, you know, that was a
crazy.
Yes. Scary.
Crazy.
And, you know, not that Daryl and I pretty much, you know, we pretty much try to follow Whole30 or Paleo during the week, and then, you know, our cheats on the weekend. You know, and they say if you're eating healthy 80% of the time, making good choices 80% of the time, you're doing good. So let's bring up it's one of my favorite recipes.
Yes,
I love it.
I make it all the time.
So and fun.
Really did not think that not only my husband, but I make it for my, and my parents have eaten this with us, and I did not think they would ever eat it with me, but they love it. I make it a lot, at least once a month. So this is called 5-ingredient pizza spaghetti pie without spaghetti. Instead, it's a large spaghetti squash. And you know, they're in the grocery stores year round, a large spaghetti squash. And, you know, you have to roast it. I cut it in half, take the seeds out, turn it upside down, flesh touching the cookie sheet, and roast it like 400 for about a half an hour. And just feel it when it's soft. Let it cool. And then it comes apart with a fork. Yeah, you scrape it with a fork. It looks just like spaghetti.
Well, hold on. If you want to make it even easier, because I don't do the spaghetti squash thing, I think it's too much work.
You're kidding. It's not that much work.
I don't. I go into Whole Foods and I buy the noodles. I just buy the vegetable noodles.
Noodles.
You know what I love best about Whole Foods? You can get, they have those noodles in so many different flavors.
Even Hannaford has them now.
They do, but not as many
Whole Foods.
But you can use, they have summer squash, they have sweet potato, they even have beet noodles.
Yep.
Yeah. It and zucchini, and so I'll pick like two of those, and I'll mix them.
You can do that. Absolutely. So
ahead.
You can make it your own. A pound of Italian sausage. I've actually not used Italian sausage. I use organic Hamburg.
Or ground turkey.
Or brown turkey, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, so a pound of that. Half a yellow onion diced. I use red onion. Cup of pizza sauce. There's an organic pizza sauce that I get. It's delicious. I should have the name of it, and I don't. But a cup of pizza sauce. Teaspoon of dried basil, salt and pepper to taste, and 3 eggs whisked. And you're going to say, 3 eggs whisked? What for? Well, after you put it all together, you preheat your oven for 400 degrees. Okay, get your spaghetti squash ready or whatever you're using from Whole Foods. Place all that in a pan. Cook together your Hamburg, your onion, your pizza sauce. Make that basil. Put all that together and then pour that in. Once that's in, you're going to take the eggs that you've beaten, the 3 eggs, and you're going to pour that on the top and then mix it in. So what that acts as is cheese. So when it bakes, it looks like cheese, and it has even a little taste like that. So it's pretty cool. If you want to add a little Parmesan on the top, go right ahead. But the eggs with it, mix those raw eggs right into the mixture, bake it, and it comes out looking like there's cheese in there.
It is so good. It's dead. You would love it.
Yeah. So you're cooking that squash, and then you're pulling it out, and then you mix it all with the meat.
Right.
Yes.
With the meat and the sauce.
Yes.
And you bake it for an hour, 400 degrees.
Meatloaf.
So it's pretty cool.
I think we have a caller.
I think
we do. We do have a caller. It is Dee from Antrim trying to take a gander at the trivia question.
Mm. Hello, Dee from Antrim. How are you?
Good. How are you? Glad you're back.
I can hear you. Hold on.
Okay. Thank you. We're so happy to be back. Thank you.
Yes.
Are you one of our old listeners?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. I know. You know what? Your name sounded familiar to me.
Dee from Antrim.
All right, Dee. So what is the official state fruit of New Hampshire?
Could it be pumpkins?
It is.
Ah,
see, it's
really?
Not that hard. Believe it or not, pumpkins are considered a fruit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is
congratulations.
Cool.
I wonder why it'd be
Thank
a
you.
Fruit.
All right. Yeah, it is. And it was in 2006 that Dee... I'm the D. That New Hampshire put it into place. I know you had something to do with it, D.
Of course.
Anyway, congratulations. Stay on the line, and Andrew will give you your take your information down, and we'll send you your package.
Thank you.
You're welcome, D.
Oh,
cool.
Let's go to that pumpkin. Pumpkin is a fruit. What's butternut squash?
Squash.
I mean, you know. Yeah. Is it a vegetable
or fruit?
You know, that is funny.
Yeah
right?
It is funny, but that's what it does.
Fruit. A fruit.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Pumpkins are.
Fruit don't grow in the ground, usually.
Yeah. You see lots of pumpkins today, especially people putting them out in their steps for the trick or treaters coming on Tuesday.
You know, did you hear about some of the pumpkins that people are getting because the weather's been so warm? The kids carve them, put them out, and they don't
last.
They don't last.
The weather has been crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy warm. Not complaining.
Yeah.
Not at all.
59 and cloudy today.
Yeah. Yeah.
For those of you tuning in, you are listening to The Pulse. It is Food for Thought with Carol and Michelle. We have Dad in-house with us. Give us a call, 866-823-1077. If you're an old listener, you just want to give a call in and say hi, do that. We love that. You know, I'm just going to tell a little story because this is kind of funny, and it's about, you know, listeners. Because, you know, a lot of times if we're out and about and people recognize us and they'll say, I'm, you know, Joe from Bedford, or, you know, we know them like that. And when Daryl and I bought our house in New Boston and we moved in, we, you know, the first few nights we were there, it was right around Christmas time. And it was, I remember it was a Friday night, and our doorbell rang, and we weren't expecting anyone, but, you know, we went and answered the door, and it was our neighbors. And he says, you know, they brought some jelly over for Christmas.
Nice.
I guess Christmas time they hand jelly out to the neighbors.
And
they
welcome
were
you.
Welcoming us to the neighborhood. And, you know, he says, this is my wife, Cecile, and I'm Kevin from New Boston. I went, great. I said, come on in. And he goes, wait, did you just hear what I said? And I go, what's the matter? What do you mean? You know, and he goes, I'm Kevin from New Boston. And I'm like, no. way. He was a regular caller on our show. So I just, that was just so funny.
Yeah, that is.
That was really
awesome.
Funny. And I think we do have another caller, Andrew.
Yes, we do. We have Chris from Concord with a food-related question.
Oh, food-related question. So maybe that's for Dad. Hi, Chris.
Hey. How you doing?
Hey, Taste Buds. I got a question about Taste that when your dad was talking about the pot roast earlier.
Okay.
One of the problems I always have with this is that I either put the potatoes and the carrots in too early so they end up like mush, or I put them in too late and they don't really finish well. What's a good time to put them in, or do you cook them separately?
No, you put them in. If you want that choice, it all depends on the amount of water you're going to have in that roasting pan. But to do it the right, like you're saying, to be easy, a fail-safe way to do it, is about an hour and a half before it's finished. Put your potatoes in.
Put
the cover back in.
An hour and a half.
But you see, I just let it go that way. Controlling the moisture is very tricky. Well, it ain't that tricky. But you know, if you have too much, it wants to boil. You don't want it to boil.
Right.
So you keep it lower. And I like them to get brown. So you might, even 2 hours before, play, experiment with it, and you'll be fine. But you're on the right track.
You know, that's a good question because, you know, you said you put spinach in yours. Do you put the spinach in right away, or
do you
put it near the end?
I do. I put it right away.
Oh, wow.
I just bunch it all together. I cut it. And I take a pile, stick it together, cut it, put it right in there. It works out good.
When you're saying the moisture, meaning like after a couple hours, open it up, check, make sure you don't, you know, you may need to add a little bit more broth. Is that what you're saying?
You may have to eat a little bit.
Okay.
But the way he's saying it, if your water level is down or liquid level is down, it ain't going to matter much to the potato. It's really a little tricky. You get to develop that.
George, what's the total time cooking for the whole
thing?
Well,
with 4 pounds, the way I have it, it seems like a lot. 4 pounds and all the vegetables, it's 4 hours.
Oh, okay.
Minimum.
So he said
halfway,
like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. So halfway through.
Halfway would be a good.
In.
It's a good rule. Yeah. I should be mentioning that to people.
Yeah.
You're right. Leave the carrots alone. They need all the time they can get.
Yes.
The parsnips I know now. I never cooked them before. Believe it or not.
That 40, makes sense.
40 years I never cooked parsnip, so they're in there. So that's like a turnip. So that's going to take a long time.
Does that make sense, Chris?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
We love our callers.
Thank you for the call.
And they're calling.
That's yes. Well, remember when we first started, nobody thought that anybody was going to call?
I know.
I won't mention any names. He's laughing.
J-Dog.
But they do. They like us and they're calling us.
Well, we actually have J-Dog in the house today. We didn't even say that.
Yeah, to just remember is pretty good. You know, to say, wow. And in the first show to be calling. I would take 2-3 shows to get going.
I know.
I think the Pulse has been advertising it though a little bit this week, this past week.
They have been on Peter's show the other day.
Yes.
That's good when they call in. I like those questions. I'm always a little afraid.
Yeah.
Stump me. Go ahead, try it.
yeah, I know. You know, I talking about healthier stuff. I have this. I mean, I guess it could be trivia, but. You know, sometimes you just want that comfort food, and it might not be so healthy, but what do you guys think? Hamburger or hot dog, which is healthier?
Well, it depends on what percentage of fat on your hamburger. I always take 80-20.
Just tell me,
if you say that, I would say the hamburger is still better.
Is it the hot dog?
Nope. Compared to a hot dog, burgers are lower in saturated fat. They also contain a healthy dose of B vitamins and a source of protein. Don't eat hamburgers all the time, but if given the choice, the burger is the better option.
Okay, that's very interesting
that I didn't know.
But what's you mean by all the time?
I know some people.
I try to limit myself to 3 days.
I go three times a week
and I'm guilty.
I had a burger last night and I can't even remember the last time I had a burger. So
Daryl had two yesterday.
Yeah.
So yesterday, lunch and dinner.
I do three a week.
I love the hot dogs at the Red Arrow.
I know, they're so good.
Goodness.
Remember, we just had one not too long ago.
But like, again, I have not had
one in a long time. The chili dog at the Arrow is unbelievable.
So I like a loaded hot dog with celery salt on it.
Celery salt.
Have to have the celery salt. Moderation, really.
Exactly.
It's everything in moderation.
You're right, exactly.
But if you're looking to weigh it, hamburgers are a better option.
Wow.
You know, speaking of burgers, and we were talking about the Village Trestle in Goffstown a little bit ago. I was there. I met a friend for lunch there and last week, and they have great specials daily too. And one of the specials was they make their own, they hand form their burgers just like we do at the diner. Mm. And it was a turkey burger with spinach and feta.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That sounds good.
I got it with no bread. And I got it with, with a salad on the side.
There you go.
And then there was this little like ramekin, and it was white. It looked like sour cream. I'm like, well, that can't do the sour cream. That, you know, defeating what you're. But it wasn't. It was a yogurt dipping thing.
Oh.
It was so good.
Yeah, but how did they serve it? On a roll or no?
Well, it was a burger, but I said no roll. So I just had the spinach,
the
feta, and then
Very nice.
It was so good.
One of the things, because, I mean, there's just something to me. There's something about the roll, and you put it to your mouth, and you take that bite. I take two bites with the roll, and then I take the roll off and eat the rest. So that helps. It gets the roll out of my head after I've taken a bite or two,
What I have to do now, when you just said described it, I have to look at it. I have to cut it in half. Okay. I have to cut it in half. Then I look at it and go, wow, and then I'll do the same thing. Pull a roll off.
Pull a roll off. I love it.
Yeah, listen to us talking about food.
It's
like
food.
This,
we're foodies.
Right? We're foodies.
You know, when you are. I think 89% of people are foodies.
Yeah. Funny. That's good. I mean,
funny how she described it. You didn't cut it. I'm going.
Sometimes I do cut it, but I did. No, sometimes I just like to pick up that big, huge hamburger.
You're not going to cut a Trump burger. I'll do that.
funny.
Unbelievable.
Craziness.
So new places opening up, and, because we haven't been on the air for a while. And, Dad, did you try that Madeira's on Hanover Street?
Nope.
Madeira's.
That's the further one. Is that one way
A
up?
Little bit further
no,
up.
No, I never gone.
It is. Remember, Michelle, you and I went for lunch.
Yes.
It is like a Louisiana
like a Cajun,
style Cajun.
Louisiana.
And it's
style.
Most of it is tapas plates.
Yes.
And
very friendly owners. Owners are very friendly.
And it's owner operated.
Yes.
One of them's in the kitchen. Yes. One of them's usually out front. Yeah. So.
It's spicy. If you're not a spicy person, it's pretty spicy.
Oh, that's
it is. Not everything.
I wouldn't work with Diane.
Pretty spicy.
Okay. Yeah.
I had a tapas jambalaya. It was really, really good. Very spicy. And then you can tell them the hotness you want.
Yes.
Which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
That
is cool. I rode by it, but I never checked it out. Yeah.
And Michelle, have you been to the Crown yet?
I haven't.
Oh, my gosh. Talking you're about, one of the few that haven't.
Talk about burgers there,
I know,
Dad, right?
You talk about a burger.
We just drove by it the other day and said, we need to go to the Crown.
Yeah, you
haven't
do.
Haven't been yet, but that's
that
definitely.
Burger there is $10.50, and I'm telling you, homemade fries the whole bit.
Yeah.
And the rolls.
The roll is unbelievable. Yeah. It's a real brioche, and it's they get two patties, thin, but great.
Do we have time for one more recipe or later?
No, we'll do it
this
later.
Will be quick.
We'll do it later. And we are actually need to go on a break. You are listening to The Pulse. It is Food for Thought with Carol and Michelle. We are back, and we're very excited. We'll be Sundays from 10 to noon. So, yes, we're going to go on a short break. We'll be right back. And we'll be back with Miriam Carter, League of New Hampshire Craftsmen. We're going to talk about the event that they're putting on, New Hampshire Open Doors. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Good music.
Nice music. Welcome back. Food for Thought with the Taste Buds, Carol and Michelle. Dad is in the house as well. And our next segment coming up right now is we are going to be talking with Miriam Carter. She's the executive director of League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, and we're going to talk about the event that they put on, New Hampshire Open Door Event. Welcome, Miriam.
Good morning. I'm happy to be with you.
Thank you. So let people know what is happening with New Hampshire Open Doors and when it is and all that. Give us all the information on it.
Sure. It's next weekend, Saturday, November 4th, and Sunday, November 5th. And you can find out all the information on our website, www.nhopendoors.com. And this is the 12th year for this event. It's an event that was made possible with grant support from the Travel and Tourism Department of New Hampshire. And basically, it's a wonderful opportunity to travel the state, touring it, and shopping at the same time. It's an idea that came about because it gave people the opportunity to have a weekend in New Hampshire that's typically a slow time in the tourism department, and you can get around and just see what the creative economy in New Hampshire is doing. There's so many wonderful businesses that are participating this year.
So, and it's really also an ideal time of year to, you know, to be out in the fall weather, you
it
know,
is.
To
it
to
is.
See.
I've lived here all my life, and I love October, November, leaves or no leaves. It's just a beautiful time of year in New Hampshire.
That's my favorite time too. I love it. So, like, give me an idea. Like, is there maps that people can, like, is there, you know, a certain, you know, give me an idea of what I would do on Saturday, like,
okay.
If I jumped into the car.
Basically, you can create your own itinerary. If you go to the website, you'll see all the businesses that are participating in your area or throughout the state. We have over 102 businesses participating this year. So we have over 30 craftspeople are opening their studios. There's also fine artists, and then there's businesses. We have wineries. We have distilleries. We have food shops. Just it's a great opportunity to plan a day of adventure.
And they all are probably like doing some kind of maybe special or you know, something going on to...
Exactly. Demonstrations, food tasting, wine tasting, beer tasting. So it's a fun way to see what's happening in New Hampshire.
Beautiful. And you said that's New Hampshire, nhopendoors.com to get more information.
Sure.
Now, okay, so you are the executive director of League of New Hampshire Craftsmen. Now, you know, I know that I've heard of League of New Hampshire Craftsmen. What exactly is it? How does one become a member? Can we talk a little bit about that?
I'd love to. It's my favorite thing to do these days. So our organization is 85 years old. Our mission is to encourage, nurture, and promote the creation, use, and preservation of contemporary and traditional crafts. And we do that through inspiration and education of artists and the broader community. So simply said, our job is to give craftspeople the opportunity to let everyone know what they're doing in the state of New Hampshire. We do that through a variety of ways. We have 8 galleries. Artists' work is sold there. There's constantly educational opportunities at galleries and also at headquarters. And then we have this really big event that's known as the Annual Craftsman's Fair that happens at the Mount Sunapee Resort in August.
Right.
And we just produced our 84th Annual Craftsman's Fair. It's a 9-day event, and we're best known for that.
That is a fun event. I've been up there. Michelle, have you ever been up there for that event?
What are you, for the Sunapee? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Huge.
It is a very big event. Yes.
Seems to be getting bigger every year.
Yes. Well, we're trying to grow it and make it as exciting as we possibly can every year. And at that time of year, we're able to do live demonstrations of craft. Mm-hmm. So not only do you get to have the opportunity to buy wonderful work, you have the opportunity to take part in a demonstration and learn a craft, whether it's throwing pottery or making beaded jewelry. It's a great time for all.
Quilting.
Yep.
Just thought I'd
name
throw
it.
That
we've
in.
Got it.
So, how does one become do you become a member of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen? Like, if there's an artist out there listening, they want to sell their work. Is that how it happens? Or?
Yes. Well, there's several ways. We have supporting members and we have juried members. For a juried member, that would be for the craftspeople who would like to participate. They have to come through our standards program. We have a jury process, and it's really a special experience because you're juried by your peers. Mm-hmm. So, let's say a potter comes in with their work, and they meet the jurors. And the jurors are, you know, master craftsmen who know their field very well, and they meet with the artists and then look at the work and then evaluate it and then speak with the artists. Oftentimes people will be accepted on the spot. Sometimes people are deferred, meaning go back and just, you know, refine your techniques and then come back to us. No one has ever refused, and it's always an educational opportunity. And then because we're a nonprofit, we're always looking for supporting memberships, and we really benefit from the people who value what we do and support us financially. And all the information about either areas can be found on our website.
And what is the League of... What is it?
It's nhcrafts.org.
nhcrafts.org.
Yeah, and if you just if you punch in League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, you'll
find
it.
It'll come up.
Right. Pretty much now, that's all you have to do, really, is punch in what you're looking for on Google.
Yes,
and
it's true.
It's very true. And just one more thing before I let you go. You mentioned there are different stores around. Can you tell us maybe where, you know, if someone was looking to, you know, maybe buy something from League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, where would we find these?
Absolutely. Well, we have galleries throughout the state. We have galleries in a gallery in Nashua, New Hampshire, Concord, New Hampshire, mm-hmm. Littleton, Meredith, Sandwich, Hanover, and I'm going to fade out here because it's Sunday and I'm at home. I apologize for that. Once again, go to the website, and I think you'll catch them all.
They're beautiful. Absolutely everything in your store.
Oh, and
I just...
most important one, Hooksit. We just put our newest one in Hooksit at the... on the highway there.
Right, at the rest area, yes.
Yes,
that's what I thought. I was waiting for you to mention that.
Thank you. Well, I have a serious head cold, and I confess to not being on top of my game, but that's our newest gallery, and it's a wonderful opportunity for people coming into the state to learn about us. So it's a feeder gallery. So that small gallery, it's much smaller than any of other galleries, basically feeds people to other parts of the state where you'll find our galleries. And the one that I'm missing is North Conway.
So. There we go. So you're pretty much scattered about.
Pardon me?
You're pretty much scattered about New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I just went on the website and actually had a hard time because I was putting open door instead of doors. So please, listeners, it's doors with an S.
Yeah.
And you'll get right on that. What a really nice website. And for people who like to have fun, play like a little game, you have like a passport. So
we
the
do.
More things, if they go to a certain place, they get the passport punched.
Yep.
Yes. And they're entered into for a fine craft gallery gift certificate, which is really cool. So the more places they go into, the better their chances, correct?
Correct. And we also have an additional event this year, which is a new social media contest with the same value that you get,
nice.
You know, the opportunity. So if you you can share your images that you have and your experiences on the NH Open Doors Facebook or Instagram accounts, and and what you, that is hashtag NH Open Doors 2017, and you can win gift certificates to the fine craft galleries.
Yes, it's a very nice website. They can
plan
their tour. There's suggestions, pictures. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So check it out,
cool.
folks. Check
very
it out.
Cool.
Thank you.
You're
all
welcome.
Right. Well, Miriam, thank you for taking the time to call in and let us know about New Hampshire Open Doors event. And sounds great. Thank you.
My pleasure. And thanks for having me.
All right.
Very neat.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I was going on. I'm like, New Hampshire door. I'm like, why can't get it get on? Then I remembered the S. So, yeah, Nick, don't forget the S.
Right.
Sometimes they'll just bring you there, but it wouldn't. So the S is important when getting on that website.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So you said you had a recipe.
I do. And you've actually tasted it. You know, this is apple season. And I was wanted
yes.
to, I went, my cousins from Florida were here and we went apple picking. So I have all these apples at my house and I didn't know what to do with some of them. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to make an apple crisp, but you know, we're healthy and I like to experiment with different things. So I figured I'm going to make an apple crisp in a different way. And if it's yucky, I'll throw it away. Nobody will ever know. But it ended up being amazing. So they say, you know, sugar and flour, white flour and sugar are probably, if you can get away from that for a lot, you know, a lot of your cooking or whatever, your chances of being healthier are greater. And so I decided to just take a regular apple crisp recipe, your favorite one. I used the same amount of oatmeal that it called for, but instead of the white flour, I used almond flour instead. And instead of the white sugar, I used coconut sugar. Now, just a little hint, when you bake it, bake the same way. It comes out looking like it's burnt because the almond flour is darker. And so is the coconut sugar. It's a brown, really brown sugar. And it kind of looks like brown sugar a little bit, but it's better for you. And it was absolutely delicious.
It was
and I
really
brought you
good.
Some. I was like, okay, people are going to try this, so I know that it's good. So just a regular, your regular apple crisp recipe and just substitute those two things and experiment a little bit, you know?
Yeah, right.
There's nothing wrong with experimenting a little bit and trying something different for healthier reasons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and doing those little things,
yep, those
you know.
Those two things.
It is those little things.
Yeah, almond flour.
Because I was
going to
say, a lot of times,
sugar.
I just, and that's great.
And you can find those anywhere now.
Yes.
Market Basket, Hannaford's, Whole Foods, anywhere they have it. So
yeah,
it's awesome.
That's good.
Even Ocean City job lots, I saw almond flour there.
My trick is 2 to 3 bites. That's it.
Yeah, right.
No, but that's great. You can have 4 bites.
Yeah, it was true. Yeah, Carol, right, I wanted, you know, her category to save some for Daryl, but she ate the whole thing.
She brought it over.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't a lot.
I wasn't sure if it was much left.
So I was hungry when you came. So I open it up and I take one bite. I'm like, ooh, this is really. And then I just
kept eating. It was great. I felt good about that.
I hope Daryl's not listening.
I'll make you some, Daryl. I'm getting some apples and I'm going to make some more and I'll bring you some just for you.
Oh boy. And yes. Dad, you know, you were just talking before. Dad has, he got an Apple Watch for his birthday. And what were you just saying before that it's telling? Because all of a sudden we're sitting at our studio table.
It was break time and it says, please stand. You've been sitting for an hour.
Oh, yes, I did,
but it motivates you.
It does. Yeah,
it really does. I mean, cool. TV time and, you know, 8 to 10, but at 9 o'clock, it'll remind me, get up.
Get up and go to bed.
And the next day, it's really amazing. The next morning I get up, I put the code in and it says, you did great yesterday. You burnt 377 calories. Your goal today is 450.
So see,
it really,
that's cool.
It really does work on me. Anybody would tell me that, I say, forget it, you know? Yeah. But it does. It gets you going like that.
Yeah.
Watching this, watching that.
Right, right. Doing little things. Okay. And, you know, like I said earlier, 80% of the time being good.
That's
and,
exactly
you know,
right.
It's in moderation.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. When I go buy that little chocolate bar, I have a little piece.
And, you know, yes. I'm okay with doing that. Yeah. I can take like 1 or 2 bites.
Me too.
And, you know, it doesn't bother me.
I'm bragging, but I can control that.
Yeah.
And say, no, I'm very, like that little candy thing you have.
Aren't those good?
Those are unbelievable.
Oh.
He's got a calorie candy. The calorie count's beautiful.
Oh my gosh!
You just
so
don't mind
good.
The cheat, you know.
I bite that in little tiny bite.
Enjoy it. You savor it.
And while Molly and Charles and Miss Penny are looking at you the whole time,
yeah. Yeah, tell me about it.
You should talk about your family of pets, Carol. You have added a few new ones.
I have one that
our listeners would be very interested in particular.
Geez, maybe I'll have to put a picture of him up on our website,
yes.
foodforthoughtnh.com. Well, okay, we have Molly that you know, I've had Molly for, Molly's
my girl.
Six. She's our 6-pound little Morkie. She's great. And of course, when it was just her, she was very, very happy. And then when we, you know, got our home in New Boston, Daryl really wanted to get another dog. And we got Charles. His Sir Charleston is his name. And he's a standard poodle.
And he's a pony.
And
he's
really. A saddle.
He's huge. Yeah, he's a pony.
And you know, he's 10 months old, and he has no idea how big he is.
No.
80 pounds strong.
80, 85. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he's huge. Even his paws still look big.
Yes.
Like, he still hasn't grown
into
him. It's so weird.
His forearm, like, his front leg is just as big as my wrist.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And then, you know, it's something that I've always been intrigued with. You know, and when I did have my heart attack in June, after that, you know, life is very short and you only live once. And I told Daryl, I said, I've always wanted a pet pig. So I got a pig.
She's adorable.
My whole family thought I was cracking up. They probably still do, but that's okay. But Penny, her name is Penelope.
Penny.
She is awesome.
She is
awesome. I don't know if J-Dog knew I had a pet pig.
Yeah.
Or Andrew. But she's so cool. She's a miniature pig. Her mom is about 38 pounds and her dad is about 44 pounds. So she, you know,
she's getting there pretty quickly.
Well, I mean, and they are very clean. Yep. She lives in the house with us. She goes out to potty with Charles when Charles goes out. Her and Charles are best buddies and they play outside all day.
Time.
We have a fence that they wear a collar, so they stay in the yard.
Yep.
And we did have a couple of problems with that with one of our neighbors.
Charles.
Yeah.
Charles.
And the chickens.
You dead.
Well,
we don't
true.
Talk about it.
It's horrible.
No, it's horrible.
Absolutely horrible.
But that's what they do.
But they got their collars and it's so funny because they play together outside.
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
They chase each other.
Good.
Chase
very
each other
good.
And oh my gosh, it's really, really fun. But Miss Penny, yeah, she definitely has when they say pigs are pigs, I think she's
like
could
a pig.
24/7.
Apple tree.
She loves your apple tree.
We have an apple tree out, you know, at the beginning of the property, like, and that's where she goes. I mean, she eats her breakfast, yeah. And then she goes out to the apple tree, and she sits there. And sometimes, if the apples haven't fallen, I have to have Daryl go and shake the tree to give her some apples. It's so funny, and she eats apples all day. Yeah. That's what she does. So anyway, you are listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Michelle. We have Dad in house. We need to go on a short break. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with the Taste Buds. For all of you wannabe weather reporters, I just got handed the weather and I get to read the weather to you today. So here you go. Here's the latest forecast from NH1.com. Scattered showers throughout the day, highs near 64. Still pretty warm. Tonight, rain with a chance of thunderstorms, low around 55, cooling off a bit. Tomorrow, early morning fog with rain throughout the day, high near 59. Tomorrow night, mostly clear skies, low around 40. Tuesday, sunny throughout the day, high near 56. Oh, I can't wait for Tuesday. For the latest anytime, go to NH1.com. This weather brought to you by R&T Electric since 1972. Your home for all electric and generator needs. Thank you.
High of 69.
Well, you know, when you see the weather girls on TV, they're all dressed up so cute and they go, ba, 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 ba. Well, nobody can see me, so I may as well get my voice to match their
or
looks.
You could just start and go do a whole water.
Okay.
That was awesome, Michelle.
Thank you.
Yeah, did a good job.
I liked it. We do have fun.
I know.
We do have fun.
I'm in tune to the weather. I love the weather.
I do
just,
too.
Interesting. All the time I'm looking my weather.
I know, George,
constant.
You do.
I'm constant.
Whenever I need to know the weather, I ask
Dad. Yeah, people ask me. Brian calls me. I'm thinking of going there. What's the weather?
Okay. Hold on.
It's
got
true.
The weather.
That is so true.
Well, now they can call me. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, brother.
Your official weather girl.
Of the Taste Buds.
Yes, I like that segment, Andrew. Thank you for sharing that with me.
For letting him
You actually gave it to you. You gave it to me. So thank you, Carol. Anyhow. Oh.
Aren't you talking about avocados or something?
Yes. Well, you know, there are so many benefits to if you're an avocado lover, which I do, but I tend not to eat that many of them. But this says why you must eat one avocado a day.
A day?
Yes. It helps your blood sugar, stabilizes it. It is good for your eyes, eye health, and Carol, heart health. Believe it or not, it provides the oleic acid, which improves the cardiovascular system. It also contains folic acid to control, something levels in your heart. I can't reread the word. It's huge. And it helps your immune system. It's a booster for your immune. And here's the last one, weight loss. Can you believe that? It contains enough fiber. Yes, because it's fiber rich. Rich in fiber to help with weight loss. So that is amazing. It contains 35% more potassium than a banana.
Yeah, I knew
bananas
that.
Are not, and bananas are so full of sugar. I stay away from bananas. They're very high in sugar.
You know, I do eat avocados. I mean, yeah. I kind of go in spurts. Like I haven't had one now for a few weeks, but you know, all of a sudden, like Daryl and I, will have two dropped eggs in an avocado. For breakfast.
Great.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. And, you know, it's high in fat, but it's good fat.
Good fat. Good meal. That's the difference.
You know, the difference. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, that's
so
the difference.
So one avocado a day.
Why you must eat one avocado a day.
Now, see, I would never have thought that.
No.
That
now,
much.
I think the dropped egg thing for breakfast, do half for breakfast and then do the other half in your salad at lunch or dinner. Right?
Or
and
at least, like, I have to bring in Midtown Cafe. You know, we do, it's real, the good avocado spread. It goes like crazy. So it's telling you something.
People love that.
I see it. I have to taste some avocado.
Then avocado gets a little bit more fattening when you start adding mayonnaise and all kinds of things to it.
Very, very good. You add mayonnaise to avocado.
Well, I don't know. Some people have.
No, we don't.
I know, my aunt used to do that.
Really?
It's the real stuff. Yeah, well, now you're really
altering it. I know, they're really altering it.
Like, you know, I mean, when you think about it, guacamole is good then.
Yes.
I mean,
very
it,
good.
You know, it has onions in it, it has the jalapenos in it.
True. Lime. That's a good spread.
Lime. Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's the chips.
Right.
The chips that are not good.
They just came out with a wheat thin chip. I just got it yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a wheat thin, like nacho chip?
It's a chip, yeah. It's good for the, you know, the chip and dip, and wheat thins in the right direction.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. And then what were you saying something about when to eat
breakfast? Best times to eat. And you know, a lot of people skip breakfast.
Yeah.
And
that's the worst
thing to do. It really is not a good thing.
I'm always juggling it.
And they're saying here the ideal time to eat breakfast is between 7 and 8 a.m. Okay. Don't have it later than 10 a.m. If you don't wake up at 8, let's say you get up at 9, 8:30, they just say eat within 30 minutes of waking up. I can't eat right away anyways, but it's a good 30 minutes or more before I can have something. Don't skip breakfast. Ideal time for lunch, 12:30 to 2. Don't have it later than 4.
True.
Yep. So there should be an ideal time between breakfast and lunch, and it's 4 hours. And then for dinner, the ideal time in this, I can't even believe this because I've always heard do not eat past 7 o'clock at night. So I feel a little better about this. 6 to 9 p.m.
Wow.
They're saying don't have it later than 10 p.m.
Are you kidding? Yeah. I've never heard that either.
Yep. The meal should be at least 3 hours before you sleep. So as long as it's 3 hours before you go to bed.
Well, who goes to bed at 1 a.m.?
Now you're going away.
Well, I usually, you know, I eat around 6. I go to bed at 11, sometimes 12. I'm a late sleeper.
I can't believe you.
This was awesome. The show is all done.
I can't believe it's all done.
Can you believe it?
Listeners, thank you so much for listening. And thank you for those that called in. And, you know, we're very, very glad to be back. Thank you, J-Dog, for checking in with us. Thank you, Andrew, our new producer. We're so excited. And next week is going to be a great show. We're going to have Riley on. We'll see everybody next week. Bye.
Bye.
Okay.